Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
This is TripleYourClients.com with your host, Andy Brown.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
Expert marketing advice to triple your clients today.
Now you can start listening.
Welcome to episode 53 of the TripleYourClients.com podcast. My name's Andy Brown, and as ever, it's a sheer pleasure to have you on board. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. What a week it's been. I actually had a good start last week, Monday. Went up to Aberfeldy, which is actually Scotland's first fair trade town. Beautiful place, about 90 minutes northwest of St Andrews. Like I say, a beautiful town surrounded by sort of majestic mountains, hillside farms. And I went up there just to see some family. They were renting a house up there for a week. And I only mention it because when we were driving back later that evening, I felt like I'd been away for a few days. And I think sometimes as a business owner, you don't need weeks and weeks of holiday. Sometimes just one day away, just maybe an hour's drive, something just to refresh you, just a different place, different scenery. It really gives you a boost. And certainly on a Monday, I felt a bit guilty. You know, it was almost like being on a holiday on a Monday. This Monday, I'm back behind my desk and I wish I was away, you know, somewhere maybe sort of 30 minutes away and just sort of chilling out with friends and family, like a mini vacation, as it were, or staycation, as I think our friends in the US call it. So I just wanted to start the show with that. If you're getting a little bit stressed with work and you think, how can I get some time away? Maybe it's just one day you need away. You don't have to go too far. That's what I found last week when I went to Aberfeldy. Beautiful town if you're not used to some of the places around St Andrews. But and that's in Perthshire. So what have I been concentrating on? Well, when I actually got down to my work, which was on the Tuesday of the week just gone, I was trying to concentrate on my single tasking, something I spoke about last week. I believe I'm going to be more productive if I can single task, but it is a tough job, isn't it? And I mentioned an app that I've been using called Session Buddy, and I'm sticking with it. It is good because you can look up in the top right corner and you see the number of tabs you've got open, and it is a reminder because I was getting to the middle of the afternoon and I had like 20, 30 different tabs up, and no wonder my machine was starting to crawl and grind to a halt and I had to reboot, and it just becomes ineffective, doesn't it? And that article I mentioned last week by BufferApp certainly talked about some of the science behind why single tasking is the way forward. But it is tough because they mentioned how you could just use one tab, and then you close it. When you close it, you have to kind of think, well, what am I going to open up now? Because I can't have too many tabs up. I can't have more than one. That's the theory behind that. So you've got to be very deliberate in the way I open up a tab. I mentioned last week when I'm doing AdWords work, I needed like two or three tabs open. But using Session Buddy, I have managed to keep it down to five or six tabs maximum through the week. And I'm going to stick with it because I do believe it's the way forward for me. Also, another Chrome extension I found very, very useful over the last couple of weeks is Momentum. I mentioned it in previous shows. It's not a one-hit wonder because I am continuing to use it, apart from the beautiful pictures that come up every time you open up a tab. It's that statement that you have to fill in at the beginning, or what are you concentrating on? And it really does focus you right at the very beginning of the day. What am I going to get done? What's that frog that you're going to eat, as it were? And I just think it's very, very effective. And like I say, sometimes you get these apps and these extensions that are one-hit wonders, but and you soon get bored of them, or they're not really as good as you thought they'd be. But Momentum's, you know, it's becoming a bit of a firm favorite, so I highly recommend you try it out. Another Chrome extension that has been on my agenda to use, which is called Xtab Chrome extension, and this limits the number of tabs. It could be quite severe, really, if you limit too low. But as I found out from Session Buddy, five or six was my comfort level, and also managed to keep everything intact. I might install that and I'll let you know how I get on with that. But that's Xtab. If you want to sort of get ahead of the game and try it out, let me know. And there are many, many tabs out there that do a similar thing. So let me know how you get on if you try any other new ones. So I'm going to talk about a lot of different things today. Hopefully there's going to be some value for your business as you listen to it. Certainly going to talk about the latest on Meerkat and Periscope. I mentioned Meerkat and Periscope last week with the live streaming. We're going to catch up with where that's got to, as it were. Also, Katy Perry's take on it and how that applies to your business. Also, a little lesson we can learn from McDonald's. A little bit about A-B testing that I've been doing, and maybe you want to consider it yourself. Sharing content and also Facebook video. So lots to get on with. But before I do, I just wanted to talk about habits. And I went to the dentist last week. I've been very fortunate with my teeth over the throughout my whole life. I've only got one filling, and that only happened recently, and that was basically, I got out of the habit of looking after my teeth. I think a little bit of stress got in the way and just kind of didn't go to my regular checkup. A bit frustrating when you've got a long run of clean teeth. But talking about teeth, I was going to the dentist and I came away with this major lesson that really it's the gums that need to be looked after more than the teeth often, because it's the gums that rot the bone that support your teeth. And I'm now trying to get back into this daily habit of flossing my teeth. But as I was thinking, how am I going to do this? Because you know what it's like when you get up, don't you? And you go through this sort of morning routine, which sometimes is a little bit chaotic. And I think I did mention at the beginning of the year that our business goal is to get on top of my morning routine. And to be honest with you, to be totally transparent, I haven't really been that successful to date, but I'm going to crack it. I know I'm going to crack it. And actually, flossing was part of that routine. And I just, you have the tape there, and I don't want to get into too much grisly detail, but it kind of can get a bit frustrating and a bit boring, and you kind of want to get on with the day. But I came across something called TEPE, which is just a plastic little device with a little metal prong at the end covered in, a little bit of plastic. But I was introduced to this tool, as it were, and it works really well to getting between your teeth. So I just wanted to put it out there that sometimes, if you set out your goals to get something done, that don't give up. I was almost sort of giving up my morning routine or this element of making flossing a habit. And now I come across this little tool. As I mentioned, it's made by a company called TEPE. I think that's going to make it a little bit more exciting for me to make this a daily occurrence. And certainly with a wake-up call about looking after my gums even more than my teeth, I'll let you know that gets on. But sometimes it's about getting the tools to get the job done that can be a success. And I'll let you know, like I say, this shows a weekly show of updates on what's working for me, but also my clients, and also sort of updates on different things that are happening in the world of technology and business. And it all, you've got to take what you can from it and make some success. And that's what's so exciting, and that's why I'm really pumped up for this year, because it has been success, and a lot of it has been based on habit building, being mindful, and just mixing with the right people in the masterminds and that kind of thing. Hopefully you're the same. You're talking to the right people, and often that's not family and friends. They always got some business advice for you, but sometimes it's not the best, is it? Well, that's a story for another day. So let's crack on. Like I say, from last week when I spoke about Meerkat, this was a live streaming app, and I did say that even though they got out of the trap and first, and there was a lot of attention, a lot of uptake on people using this app to film different events, really loving it to bits and disrupting the marketplace, as it were, in so much live events. I was watching Muse, the pop band Muse from Manchester, via someone recording the live event on their phone, and I talked about the implications for marketing and scarcity and it was quite exciting. But they relied on Twitter a lot for their social graph, and unfortunately for them, Twitter decided to turn that off because they went and bought a company called Periscope, and now they've got Periscope v Meerkat, two very similar products. And it's just almost like working out which one's going to become the most popular, or they might both take some market share. And also, how are you going to use it in your own business, if at all? But I think there are some opportunities. Certainly with Meerkat, there's no way to watch a show again, the person taking the video can save it to their phone, but that is in contrast to Periscope, where you can actually save it to your profile, and so that your users can actually watch the videos again. That's a big difference, and we'll see how that plays out as a differentiator. But I was very impressed on Saturday morning when I went onto Meerkat, looked on the leaderboard, and there's a company there or a profile there called Swedish Food TV. So I thought, this looks interesting. There's 30 or 40 people watching it. And there it was. It was a live stream from a restaurant in Stockholm, just in the actual kitchen. And there was someone, or a chef, who was talking to us, talking about the number of people that are going to be eating at the restaurant at night and what the food preparation. And then he would walk off and work with someone else, and you're kind of looking at everyone else. It was entertainment, sheer entertainment, and very transparent. In a way, it was the ultimate in transparent marketing. And I'd watched it, it was in the background, but I thought, if I'm in Stockholm, I know where I'm going to eat. This is marketing, at a new level. And I kind of thought, this is a massive opportunity for many, many businesses if they're not too scared, like I say, to present on video. And there are some businesses, if I'm doing my AdWords here and I've got a live stream, then I guess probably isn't too exciting. But if you've got very visual, if you're doing something that's quite visual in your work and you're not going to get too distracted, and obviously if you've got co-workers, they're not going to be put off by it, then perhaps there's an opportunity to really build up a global audience. And more so, if you pick up on this, you're going to get a lot of PR, because obviously all the media outlets there are looking for stories where they're using these apps, because they're such a big player in the market at the moment. And like I say, I talked about disruption, and particularly in the music industry, my example about Muse in Manchester. And Katy Perry, she came out with a statement that she loved the live streaming and said that we basically got to embrace the new technology. I don't know if her music business or company are going to, record company are going to take the same stance, because it's, like I say, it's a disruption that's taking place big time. But it was quite engaging, exciting to see an artist, just like I say, embrace the technology and say, look, we've got to live, here we are, 2015, this is what's happening. We're not stuck in our old ways. We've got to embrace it and go with it. Maybe it's, I don't know, is it easy for her to say because she's a global mega star in the music industry, or not? But in the past, sometimes, and particularly when I was growing a Twitter following, you wondered whether any celebrity would ever jump on. This is sort of back in 2007, 2008, whether they actually would want to market themselves and talk to their fans, as it were. Let's just rely on their marketing companies to get the message out. But very quickly, the first few celebrities got on there. I saw it in the golf market, and then suddenly everyone was, because what a magical thing to talk to your users and your fans and your audience, and suddenly everyone's engaged in the conversation. They're spreading the message, and their popularity is leapfrogging people that may be a little bit more famous, but their marketing company is just a little bit slow off the mark and getting the message out about them that year or that month. So yes, we're talking about some very transparent marketing that's going on. And talking of transparency, this week I was reading an article in Forbes, Forbes.com, and it was called Earn Your Customers' Trust by Embracing Radical Transparency. And it's by Jay Baer. I've mentioned Jay Baer before, and he's on a podcast, and it's also like a TV or YouTube streamer channel as well. It's called Jay Today. But Jay Baer, always try and pick up his show, because it's about 3 minutes long, so you really can digest it very quickly, and there's always a lot of nuggets in it. So highly recommend that. He wrote this article, and I'll put a link in the show notes at tripleyourclients.com/53 if you want to check that out. But Jay quotes how McDonald's had to do something pretty radical after five straight quarters of plummeting sales, and they had to reach out with a a new venture. They called it Our Food, Your Questions. And it's very much about the content marketing we've been talking about before, where you answer the questions that your customers and your clients ask. And so now they have a separate website called Our Food, Your Questions, and consumers can ask McDonald's any question about their food, and particularly sort of tough questions. And you wouldn't have seen this in the past. and we are now in this transparent world, and there is no secret sauce, as it were. And it's basically a strategy is proven. It's proven, and that's why content marketing is the buzzword at the moment, because those who are actually jumping full in, 100% in, and getting the buy-in from the top are seeing some incredible results. Not from day one or month one, but it is a long play, but they are seeing the way forward, and they're setting out now so that, like I say, in 2016, 2017, they're going to have that bulk of content that's going to put them head and shoulders ahead of their competition. And this website that I talk about that McDonald's have put together, they're just ticking the boxes, one for transparency and one for content marketing. There's another example that Jay Baer talks about. There's a charity called GiveWell, also known as the Clear Fund, and they actually put their shortcomings on their website. And I don't know how many of us would put our shortcomings in. That really is transparent. So in the past, they've been over aggressive in their fundraising, and they'd used inappropriate marketing. But they left no stone unturned in actually addressing all these issues and acknowledged, you know, this had been bad behavior, slap wrist, and basically took the effort to talk to their audience and not kind of hide anything, you know, away. It's quite incredible, really, that there are now companies out there that want to address every issue that someone might have. And it's a bit like some of the FAQ pages I mentioned about for smaller businesses, where I say you've got to answer every single question. And some of them are going to be a little bit tough. Some of them you don't want to answer. Obviously, we talked about price in previous shows. You need to answer price. You need to answer how price is addressed in the industry and the different models. These are all sometimes tough issues to address. You wonder whether you should actually write about it, but you have to, because if you don't, your competitors are going to write about it sooner or later. This is a common theme that's coming out in marketing at the moment. So it really is an honest communication that you need to lead in your marketing that builds the trust and loyalty. So there really is, particularly with some of the technology I've already spoken about in today's show with Meerkat and Periscope, there's no place to hide. Everyone is a reporter. So sooner or later, you know, bad things are going to get out. Hopefully not too bad, but you know what I mean and what I'm getting at. You've got to have a transparent culture in your company. You don't want to sort of hide away things. I'm not going to sort of give you too many business lessons about how to run your company, but you can imagine it's easier to be transparent to your audience if you're also pretty transparent internally. Yeah, it's a shift, isn't it? A shift in how a company's run. And for me, it's fascinating, really fascinating. So much going on in that space. So let's get down to some practicalities with our websites. We haven't really mentioned websites too much to date in today's show. It is the most important asset you've got, apart from your list. I always say your list is almost more important than your website. It depends how big your list is. You know, the money's in the list, but there you go. You know, your list and your website, pretty important there. Although sometimes you imagine that people don't see that because they spend so much time on some of the social media sites and third party sites that they're not really working on their main site, you know, adding the content, as we've already spoken about. A bit like Meerkat, they built their business around Twitter, a third party platform. Some would say that was a little bit of a dicey game to play, but we'll see how that plays out with them. But if you've got your website, then you probably want to be doing some A/B testing. That's what I've been working on in the past few days and onwards. And A/B testing, just to give you a brief summary, is a situation where, well, let's just talk about AdWords, for instance. If you got a successful ad, someone's clicking through, you've got a good click-through ratio, they're landing on a page, it's converting into a phone call or a lead, you might want to test that with another landing page. And that landing page might just have a different headline or different copy, a different image, a different way, different number of forms on the actual form on the page. There could be a number of things that differentiate one page from the other. But if you want to test one against the other, you call that A/B testing. And I've been doing some testing in AdWords with some clients in that respect. They call it campaign experiments. So that's one way of doing A/B testing. And another way is with a product called SumoMe. I use the pop-ups I have on my website use a free product called SumoMe, which also allows you to create pop-ups and smart bars and heat maps. It gives you so much, so many tools, free tools to improve your website or to improve the lead generation on your website. You don't have to use all of them. I'm just using the one pop-up. It's like a smart pop-up in so much it works out. When you're leaving the website, when your cursor sort of goes over into the corners, it's clever stuff. It works out when someone's about to leave and then pops up with a message. And they got a new product out, which is called List Builder Pro, which allows you to test different pop-ups. So it can be just a slight difference in the color or the headline, or it might be the fact that you turn off this smart option that works out when you're leaving and you just put in, okay, the pop-up's going to appear after, say, 25 seconds. But yeah, just in a testing phase with that to work out whether I can improve the number of people that sign up for my list. It's they're offering a 30-day trial on the product because it then goes into a $20 a month plan, which could be I could easily pay for itself. Obviously, if it's really changes the number of people that are signing up for your list, you know that's a critical thing you've got to work on. So we'll see how it turns out, but. Sometimes we can all get a bit lazy on our website and not do enough testing. And then on the reverse of that, you can test so much that it takes a valuable time in your business day and really isn't, I don't know, you change too many things on your website. And when you come to analyze the data, you can't even work out what's caused what. It's a little bit ineffective if you do that. So I always talk about just making small changes and coming back a few weeks, even a month later, to see what's really, really worked. Because if your website is a local business, then you will, and it's getting between, say, 50 and 100, 150 people a day coming to your website, you do need to get about 1,000 visitors, maybe 2,000, to really get a crystal clear idea of what changes worked. Because data can get skewed very easily, or your view of what's working in data can get skewed very easily just by just the results that come in after sort of 20 or 30 clicks might favor one type of page A versus page B, but actually it's only when you got 1,000 plus clicks through that you really get like I say, the crystal clear evidence or data that one thing is working better than another. You need to do it over that number of events, as it were, to work out what is working. But I find it a lot of fun doing the testing, particularly in AdWords, but also, like I say, my own website pop-ups. So definitely let me know if you're doing any other A/B testing. If you really want to sort of dig into the whole conversion aspect of your website, my go-to website is conversionxl.com. There's a million articles on there that I love reading, and I particularly love reading because there's so many case studies that you can relate to on a business case study. So, and it's written by people who actually are doing the testing. One of my favorite websites. I always read the latest blog from there. And basically, at the end of the day, a small tweak can make a big difference. So, you know, we can't overestimate that. It really is so powerful that, you know, you change the percentage of people on your pop-ups from, say, 2% up to 5-10%, and suddenly you're getting hundreds rather than tens of people every month sign up to your list. That really is going to make a big difference to your business at the end of the month. So I've got a quick question for you. What are you reading now? And I wonder if you're reading a business book, are you reading it and you're sticking to it? And maybe it's not all you expected. Maybe it's the most exciting business book you ever read. But don't you find that the books tend to they go through a particular order so that the chapters near the end are the juicy bits where they've got all the good stuff. You know, you've basically been led on a journey And ultimately, it's the second part of the book that gives you the action points, the things you can take away and work on, the essence of the book ultimately. It's the theme, isn't it? The theme of business books. They lead you through a path, and you get to the end, and you hopefully you feel good about what you read. But that is the theory, and typically, and particularly if you analyze a lot of the book self-publishing the space I'm particularly into at the moment, having published a few books on Kindle, that most people don't read the books. They're buying books and they don't actually read them. It reminds me of some of the days when I've sold online courses. It's quite frustrating when you create this lovely course and they paid for it, and then you find out that people don't even use the course, or they might read the first chapter. A bit like when I used to send out DVDs of products, and you find out that quite a huge percentage of people don't even open up the DVD. And you might think that's a bit weird, but it comes down to the whole human psychology, that people believe that they've solved their problem actually just by buying the course rather than actually opening up and using it. But yeah, very, very weird. But I only mention all of this because I was listening to the social media guru, Mark Schaefer. He's got a podcast called The Marketing Companion. He's got a new book out called The Content Code. And on this episode, the very recent episode, he was talking about The Content Code. And he took this all on board and said, right, because no one's actually reading all of these books, there's a bit of generalization, but a lot of people aren't reading all the books, and certainly not all the chapters. He says, I'm going to put all the good stuff in the first chapter. And the big business lesson he puts in The Content Code is that it's not enough now to create intelligent content about your company that answers questions, that yes, it's engaging and compelling to read, but it might not be shareable. And he says that this is what's happening now. There's a lot of content out there. Businesses are doing that. That's good. They're ticking that box. And hopefully, if they're SEOing it right, they're going to get a stream of traffic from it. But if they really want to take advantage of social media, all the magic happens in the share. And so this book's all about how do you write the content so that you create content which is shareable. So the good thing is, if you buy The Content Code, then you only have to read the first chapter. Now, I'm kidding there, because Mark Schaefer, he's written a great book. But the first chapter is all about sharing the content. And I've heard it from other people in the last sort of month or so. It's a great sort of wake-up call, really, that we might have to be working a little bit harder. I imagine you've probably been disappointed, like I have sometimes. You put some content up there, particularly on Facebook, with the new regulations they put in, so that it's very restrictive, and you only get the number of everyone viewing it if it gets shared, and then that's the only way you're going to get the message out to a larger audience. So yes, it's very important. And like I say, with Facebook, the shares are important, the likes and comments are, but get those shares in. Talking of shares, I was just tonight, I was on Facebook, and there some people on my stream were sharing a picture by Rory McIlroy, the golfer. The picture was of some Bose headphones, and he said he's giving away 5 pairs. They're green pairs because he's playing in the Masters. Maybe if you're not a golfer, it doesn't make too much sense. But it's a big competition coming up in a week or so called the US Masters, and hopefully he'll win it. And his sponsor, Bose, were putting out some headphones in a competition. And he said that you can get one of these 5 pairs just by sharing. And I thought, oh, yeah, sounds good. I'll go and share. And I looked at the page I had to share, and there are already 236,000 shares. And I know he's got sort of 750,000 likes on his page, but I still thought that was a crazy amount. And I just thought, well, there's a very simple competition. It's a great product he's giving away. And the call to action is so simple. Just share and it'd be a random giveaway. And there I was seeing lots of people on my stream sharing it just for the chance to get this quality product. And I guess for the business owner, have we been sort of complicating some of the competitions and contests that we've been running? I would imagine it always it's always better to start with a very simple competition or contest and go from there. Even last week, I was talking about shortstack.com, the way that you can run some contests on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, and you get all this data, you could build your list, and that is, you know, pretty impressive technology behind that. That's why I mentioned it in the show. But if you just want to keep it simple, have you just tried a very simple competition where you just share one thing, you know, and everyone who actually shares gets into the draw, and maybe, you know, you might win. But I think the driver there, obviously, you've got the big name golfer that's got a big list. But the motivation, I think, for people is that it's a fantastic prize. It really is a fantastic prize, a quality prize. And I don't know whether your business can give away a high quality prize. Can you afford it? But sometimes you've got to test these things. You keep the competition simple and just make the carrot very, very attractive and see how it goes. But off the back of all of that, whilst we're talking about social media, and I'll tie this all in to a conversation Marcus Sheridan had on his show. He was attending the Social Media Marketing World Conference in San Diego, and he was saying that for the first time in, well, ever really, less of the chat was about these vanity metrics like likes and sort of shares, and more of it was on the return on investment. So it's tough, isn't it? Because you've got to, on one hand, you've got to think, right, we're getting all these shares. I'm sure Bo's, you know, Rory McIlroy's sponsor is going, yeah, that's brilliant. We've got 236,000 shares. And I know they're coming from a branding point of view, and I'm not likely to go out and buy a set in the near future. But they are kind of on my radar now because I've been exposed to the branding, and I guess I'm mentioning it now to you. So there's all these little ways that the message trickles out across the internet and social media. But at the end of the day, they got to sell these headphones. They've got to pay Rory his fee, haven't they? So and they've got to make some profit. So it's interesting. I mean, the numbers involved are massive. But to bring it back to a business level, just for yourself, maybe with a smaller business, and even for myself, it's always weighing up against the branding element. You know, what's a successful campaign? You know, maybe you get 10, 20 shares on your competition, but then did you build up an email list? And that's why I'm talking about Shortstack from last week, because it does give you the tool to do that. Or not? Did you get the return on investment? Was it worth all the effort? It's tough. It's tough to work out the answer. And sometimes it goes back to the A-B testing. You know, you've got to keep it simple to work out directly what the result was. Don't bring in too much different sort of marketing and complicate the whole message or the competition you're running, because at the end of the day, there could be too many factors that determine whether it's successful or not. Keep it simple and just build from there, and maybe just repeat it, and not get too clever with it all. So, yes, very interesting about that. Also, Marcus commented on the fact that it's clearly obvious now that Facebook wants to be YouTube. I mentioned before in previous shows that Mark Zuckerberg mentioned that 2020, all the content would be video. It's hard to believe, but then again, some of the early conversation today on this show about Meerkat and Periscope, you can kind of see where it's all heading. And particularly, you probably noticed yourself that Facebook do not like the fact that if you put you can put a YouTube video or a link into an update status in Facebook, but you're just not going to get as much traction as if you just upload the video file straight into Facebook. You're going to get much more traction. You're going to get it played. You know, it's going to play automatically when someone scrolls through the feed on their phone. So much going on in that space. And again, we're all reminded as business owners that we've got to get the video recorder out, or should I say just get the phone out. You know, it's not an expensive task anymore to take video. It's interesting. And it makes me wonder whether, with Meerkat having a few problems with the uptake of Periscope in the last week, you know, if they run off and become the leader, whether Facebook are going to come in and buy out Meerkat. It's, for me, I find that fascinating. Just in the way that everyone's sort of trying to get to this space, you know, this space where we're fully engaged with video as opposed to anything else. It's all video. I mean, I see it in the AdWords space. I've just taken some exams yesterday. I took 4 exams. Each one was 2 hours long. As an agency, I'm a Google partner. You have to take these exams every year. So you take them. You have a fundamentals exam. You have a search network exam, a display network, and a Google Analytics exam. It's quite intensive, but you get them all done, and you can sort of show off and say, "Oh, I'm a Google partner." Although, to be honest with you, all my clients have never asked whether I'm certified or not. But I'm kind of being a little bit more bullish, I guess, in my marketing. But you know, using the certification a little bit more than I could have done in the past. I guess I've relied more on reputation and trust, and just talking about, you know, using this podcast, for instance, and just using my network and building my list. And I haven't sort of used the social proof and some of the awards and that kind of advantages I should be doing. So maybe you'll see me bragging a little bit more about that. Don't only to bring in a few more clients, but yeah. I was just doing the exams there, and always quite intensive. But and there's one exam they haven't made compulsory yet, which is the YouTube advertising examination. But who knows? I should think that will become a little bit more important, and they want more people to get certified in that, because YouTube advertising is a big play for Google at the moment. It's certainly an area that is worth experimenting with if you are if you've got a little bit more spare cash, spare marketing budget. Definitely worth trying, because the cost per clicks are a bit like the gold rush days at the moment. They're pretty cheap. I mean, it is. You'll be very clever in your marketing and how you use it to grow your list, or maybe you just want to do it as a branding exercise locally or on certain channels. There's a whole show that could be done on YouTube advertising, but internally Google are certainly pushing it. Like I say, and I'm quite excited about it. I don't actually have any clients who are using YouTube advertising, because there's so much to be had from the search network and display network. And it is, I guess, something for the bigger companies at the moment. But, it's video, and you've got Facebook who are trying to integrate more video into their stream. You've got Meerkat, Periscope. And I guess that's the theme of today's show. What video are you doing in your show? And it goes back to the Swedish restaurant in Stockholm. It just jumped on this opportunity straight away to build their brand. Hopefully they've had more covers in the last few days through it. I imagine once it gets picked up by the local press, then, and I know they're a very reputable restaurant already, so they're probably already successful. They definitely are successful, but you know, I'm sure every business can do with some more customers and clients, and they will see that uplift from this special kind of marketing. Quite unique, but will probably become very normal, very transparent, as we spoke about before. Very transparent type of content that is. No, I was just about to say easy to do. Well, it is easy to do, but that's if you've got the buy-in. You can imagine if your co-workers are a little bit reluctant to appear on video, or you're not too confident about what you've got to say. It's certainly not easy in that respect. But what's the alternative? And the alternative is hard work, whichever way you look at it. So, yes, we might be getting, and can you imagine it, Facebook with live video as you go down through the stream? Yes. So I hope today's show's got you thinking about your business marketing, all the opportunities out there. There's certainly a lot going on. If you found any of this of interest, please share. And you know what? I just looked at the time, 38 minutes, and the last few shows have been 20 minutes or 25 minutes, and I went on about keeping it short. Sorry about that. Hopefully it hasn't felt like 38 minutes, and there's been some value in it. Like I say, if you have found any value, please share with one friend, or even if you love the show, go over to tripleyourclients.com/iTunes. There were no that's how you can leave a review. There are no reviews this week. We've got 11 so far, so if you'd like it to make it lucky number 12, please leave a review, and I do mention you in the show. So whoever you are, I will mention you in the show, whatever you do. I'll give you a plug for your company and give you a shout out. That's the least I can do. Reviews are obviously very important. Anyone who's running a podcast. So, just before I wind up, I just want to just say that in the previous shows, I've been using an app called Calm to help with my meditation. Meditation, and it's been good. I don't know anything about medication. Meditation. God, I'm getting all. I tell you what, the time now is 1 minute to midnight. And that's why my words are getting all jumbled up. But anyway, Calm is a great app. It's one of these ones that I keep returning to. It sorts my mind out when things are getting a little bit stressed. I'm getting things, like I say, stressing me out, and I'm not working to my maximum productivity. But I'm just about to test out something called Headspace, and that's one that's getting a lot of airplay at the moment, very popular. Can't really comment on it at the moment, but I've just seen the trailer for it. Like I say, it's been referred to a number of times in different podcasts I listen to. So hopefully, maybe use it already, and you can let me know at AndyBrownTYC on the tweets, or you can email me at AndyBrown@tripleyourclients.com and let me know whether that's the app I should be using or one of your own favourites. But hopefully I'll let you know next week or a week after how that's getting on. Anyway, until next time, take care and keep smiling. Thank you for listening. Cheerio. Bye.
Have you ever wished you had more visitors to your business website? Where you switch a button and instantly benefit from a steady, consistent stream of new potential clients and customers? One such proven way to do this is by using Google AdWords. Unfortunately, many businesses fail to take advantage of this opportunity, make huge mistakes, and waste their marketing budget. This is why I recommend you head over to tripleyourclients.com and grab Andy's free 44-page report on the 17 ways to maximize your Google AdWords ROI today. Simply enter your name and email on the homepage to have full access to Andy's special report within seconds.